You're listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast, where it's not always advisable, but it is always endorsed.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. And today I have a great guest, the great and powerful Lucy. Lucy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Just living the dream, I suppose. Enjoying this cold weather, this cold LA weather.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, we complain, but meanwhile, I'm from Chicago. It's like 10 degrees. I left that, but now I'm cool California. So it's like 60 and I'm like, I can't do it. You know, I used to make fun of like everybody, like, oh, look at they're wearing North Faces. It's like 55 degrees. That's crazy. I'd be in shorts. Now it's like, oh man, it's too cold. I can't even go to Starbucks.
It's too cold. Exactly. Got to put on a sweater.
I know. Anyway, you had an interesting story and I appreciate you being willing to chat with me for a little bit here. And you were in the escorting business for some period of time. Is that correct?
Yes, I was for sure.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. You're going along, you're ostensibly not an escort and you get into it. How does that come about in very general terms? Like, how do you make that decision to jump into that world? Because it's not admittedly totally mainstream, right? It's a little gray.
Right.
But how do you get into it? What do you do?
Pretty much it began as like, I was already kind of like a sexually open, kind of, you know, comfortable with my sexuality type of feel. You remember those Omegle days? Do you remember Omegle?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Omegle. So it started off with like sexual topics on Omegle, and then it just gradually goes up to posting pictures or then having like these chats on these websites that has to do with adult content. And then I found a specific website and it was like called, I can't remember what it was called, but pretty much you can just go on there and put your stuff up and people contact you to take pictures or if you want to shoot videos. And my main thing was like, let me actually see about getting into escorting. And I had maybe like one thing I did that and it was just, I started it and it was like, well, why not? Honestly, yeah. But I didn't really hear the term before that. Before that, it was always on TV, you know, like prostitution was the name of it. And, you know, it was always something deemed bad and it was just, you know, you shouldn't do it. But when it came to that and when it came to escorting, I was like, actually, I can make my own terms and it's not that bad. So that's how I got into it. It was just the website that I went on. Like, it was just a gradual upbringing from already being sexually comfortable. So just already indulging in those sexual activities, it just leads up to me knowing about escorting.
So in a sense, you kind of progressively got closer to it, but
yeah,
at some point it was like, I might as well get paid for this. Is that fair?
Exactly. Yeah, all exactly. Right.
There you go.
Exactly.
That makes sense. So you start out, right? And, you know, the question becomes, you have to market yourself, right? It's a crowded field. And you can't like put up a billboard on the Hollywood freeway or anything like that. Like,
no.
You've got to be crafty and like it's guerrilla marketing, right? Like, you know, it's like, like knowing the right spot. So what do you do fresh out the shoot? I'm an escort. I'm getting into the business. How do you find clients? What do you do?
The main way that I was able to actually find clients was surprisingly was I had started because Twitter has always been a place where you could literally, Twitter porn is ridiculous, but Twitter, you can literally post anything nude, everything nude, ever you want to. So I started off with really posting my content on Twitter and there just were people who would gradually hit me up like, hi, what location are you in? I would love to be a sugar daddy type of vibe, or are you interested in meeting for such and such amount? And then that a majority of my customers came from Twitter. I didn't even really have to actively look. And at the same thing with that one website that I was on, it's a website literally meant to find people who will work in the adult industry, whatever that is. You know, videos, music,
right.
Photos, anything like that. So, but my majority was on Twitter and Tumblr. When Tumblr was able to post that.
Yeah. So your marketing budget's like zero because Twitter and Tumblr are free.
Exactly. Right?
So it's like, it pays to be good looking and then it pays to use Twitter because it's free. Right?
Exactly. And everyone is on there. And you just have to know where to go.
Right. And there has to be a willingness, obviously, to post the right content because the right content sells and attracts.
Exactly. So there was definitely work put into it simply because I would need to know in what groups I can post such pictures in, deciding who was real and who's fake, little shit like that.
Right. And you did this like, I was an attorney and, you know, I had like a mentor, right? You had no mentor, seemingly. You just like figured this out.
Yeah, definitely. So there was definitely mistakes in the beginning that I should have thought about, but it's not something that I actually really, I didn't look much into the topic like I should have. So of course there was mistakes in the beginning. There was things that I did do that I probably should not have done, but it's all a process. It definitely took some time to learn how to keep myself safe. Things like that, you know, like you have to worry about stuff like that.
Right. So you get a guy and he's considering using your services. And you like in my world, we call it KYC, right? Know your customer. How do you like, because safety is obviously an issue, right?
Yeah.
And like you got people come from Twitter and there's some like weird ass people on Twitter, right? Like, you know. That's guaranteed. And like, it's crazy. Like, I can't even go on there for longer than 5 minutes. But so you go on there. How do you do that? Like, how do you vet the client?
Most of the time I look for, and it's like telltale signs as well. Like the way that they speak can be one way to see if they're real or not, or if they're with the bullshit, if they have a picture up, if they're willing to give me their phone number, if they're willing to talk on the phone or even do like a video call type of thing, if they're willing to send me certain pictures or information, because basically I have like a friend whom I tell like, oh, I'm going here, I'm gonna be with this person, I'm gonna be there from this and this time, my location is on, so you know where I'm at, you know, just to have someone else know, because I can't physically bring someone else with me in the room or, you know, something like that. So I have to make sure that the people who are looking to take advantage of my services, I just make sure that they are willing to do certain things, like a picture or sign something. So it's like, I need to make sure that I'm safe. And then I tell them like, okay, so this information is going to be sent to my friend. This is their name. I'm letting you know that like, this is who I'm sending it to and that someone knows my location at all times. I just have to make sure, it's a little this one that, like the profile picture, the way that they speak, what location they're in, all little things like that. Because if it's just me, and I'm, you know, not to be like, say that it's just because I'm a woman, but I'm a tiny woman. So it's like, it's, I have to definitely make sure that I am kept safe no matter who I go to.
Oh, of course.
Of course. So like, you need like proof of life from whoever you're talking to, right?
Exactly.
Like you're collecting KYC, like you know who they are, whatever, sideways, they've got repercussions, so they know not to because you know who they are.
Exactly. And they know that someone else also knows who they are. So if anything has happened to me, I have someone else who knows exactly where I was at, exactly who I was with, and all of that type of information.
Right.
And did you have to pay this person?
No.
It was just like a
friendly thing. It wasn't like a heavy or a bodyguard or anything like that. It was just sort of like
They're just my best friend. I mean, honestly, my best friend is the one because I got into it with them. First, we started doing camming, you know, like cam girls and stuff like that. Yeah. So we pretty much, me and her have been doing stuff like that for a long time. But she's just someone that I trust. So she's like, if you need any help, just let me know.
Gotcha. Very cool. So you whittle down the pool, right? Like of applicants, so to speak. Right. And you must come across people from all walks of life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then it comes to like pricing. So I would imagine, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you're not charging everybody the same amount, or we're not charging everybody the same amount, right? Like somebody from Beverly Hills connects with you, or somebody from Yorba Linda, right? Or wherever in the world, like you may make a value judgment on the efficacy of one person versus the other, or the value of one person. So did you charge according to what you perceive? Like, how did you come up with pricing? Right.
Like, Cause I was, I actually didn't even think about that based off of their location and stuff like that. I actually would just set a certain amount. I just charged everybody that. And then pretty much it was like this much for this, this much for this, this much for this. How long would you like to partake, and what is it that you would like to partake in? And that way I would just like, if I wanted to, if it was pretty much out of that already set price range or genre, whatever, I would pretty much just add extra to that. But it was always just a set amount for everybody. And then once I found out more information, it's like, okay, well, that'll be 100 extra. Or, okay, well, that'll be 50 or 60 bucks extra. And then they agree to it. But I have a set amount for sure. It just has kept it easier. It was just a lot to try and be like, well, okay, if you want this and this, well, I could probably do this and that. It's like, no, I have this and I have this and I do this. And this is how much it is. If you want something else, let me know. And I'll let you know how much of a price increase it is.
Right. You had like a fixed rate, but then the upsell was really like the profit margin come in. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like they're already there. They're already like seemingly into it. And then they're willing to just, it's like upselling at a strip club, right? Like you walk in, then you all of a sudden you're in the back room, you know, spending thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
Interesting. That's very interesting. So then the question becomes bandwidth, right? Like you're making X money, and like, did you consider that? Well, let's strike that. When it came to escorting, did you offer like a girlfriend experience, or was it just the end result? You know, sometimes guys want to like take you out to dinner, you act like their girlfriend, blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
Or did you just skip on that?
No, yeah, I definitely partook in that too, because it's like, if I can get paid for not having to do anything physical, then I am going to do it. If you want to take me to, like, I'm glad to go eat. You can take me out where you want to. I enjoy people anyway, though. So it's like, I'm going to have a genuine conversation with you. I'm going to want to know what you've been up to, because that's a different aspect. That's a different perspective out of my life. So it's like, yes, this is a, what you would call it, it's pretty much just like us meeting, and it was already paid for, but I'm going to definitely still be as though I want to get to know you genuinely. But yeah, I would partake conversations. People would pay me to just talk on the phone. People would pay me to just to text them, send them pictures. I partook in pretty much all of it. Going out, there was someone who took me to Six Flags for a day. And I was just like, fuck it, dude. Like, I love Six Flags, and I got paid to go to Six Flags. Like, that's pretty cool.
Shit,
so if I had that option, yeah.
I may do it now. I mean, you know, if I get a free trip to Six Flags, I get paid to go to Six Flags, I'll go.
Go to Six Flags. There are, trust. You will find somebody who will be like, fuck it, yeah, let's go. And I was always surprised, because it's like, you want to pay me just to sit in my presence, you know, just to be around someone. Of course, but I'm not going to sit there and act like and be fake. Like, I'm not going to sit there and make you feel bad. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be silent and like, oh, you paid me to be here, so I'm going to just not do anything. I want to, because that person clearly wants to feel good, just to feel something, you know, to be around somebody else. So it's like, of course, I'm going to make you feel good, dude. And when you genuinely want to make someone feel good, they might pay you more. So it's like, you give genuinely an admission, they'll give back.
Right. So then, you know, you mentioned that you were cammy at one point, and I guess that predated escorting. Mm-hmm. And camming is obviously, like, we've talked to cam girls on this podcast before, it's like wildly competitive, because like, you go to one site and there's like 1,000 girls, right?
So many. Yeah.
So, but this, like, escorting is a little more gray market, a little more under the covers, so to speak, right? And did you sense competition? I mean, did you have competition? Like, how, or was it just you had your marketing methodology, it worked to a T, it was cost effective, and like, it just worked, and you were comfortable in what you did, like, in terms of financially being comfortable?
When it comes to that process, I definitely feel like it was a success. Like, I really didn't feel much competition. It just also depends on the website that I was on, because I started off on a campsite, but that specific campsite, there wasn't a lot of girls on there. It was one of those where, like, it takes time for you to get approved, and there's only certain members who are allowed onto said website, and that's who they pay to see, whoever they're going to see. So I was on a website that, not like, you know, like Chatterbait. Chatterbait is huge. Like, Chatterbait is a variety of so much. That's a cam website that has a lot, but that website, I wasn't on that. So thankfully, people that I already had built up, or I guess you want to call it my fan base, had just gradually went from the website that I used over to Twitter. And then from Twitter, they were able to contact me more. Because on that website, too, there's certain rules and regulations. You can't mention certain things. You know, you can't say the word escort. You can't say the word, like, I'll pay you to meet, because then I'll get kicked off of that site. Right. But once I move over to Twitter, it's free game. So people who are on my website or on that campsite were on Twitter like, yo, like, okay, so do you do this and this and this as well? Yeah. I'll do it. And then so other than that, I really didn't have much competition because people who already knew me, they were already people who were already fans of mine from that campsite. And then my fan base just gradually grew when I went on Twitter.
Right. So you created like brand equity. Like you were your own brand that you created in the camming world. And then you just bring this over to Twitter where it's free game. You can just say and do basically anything, right? You
know, pretty much.
Right. And then you just have this like affinity because you have this following. Right. And that's basically.
Yeah. Thankfully, it was able to just kick off from there because I know there is competition for, especially when you aren't aware or you don't know about sites that aren't as big as Chatterbait or escorting sites. There's escorting sites there are big ones and there are ones that are exclusive. It's really just about doing research. And I did a lot of my research before the campsite thing. And also even when I got on Twitter, I discovered more camming sites that were to exclusivity.
So are you familiar with FOSTA and SESTA?
FOSTA and SESTA. I have heard of those two, but by the time that I was going to like probably get into it, I was over all of this anyway. I really haven't been putting much energy into it. So I've heard of FOSTA and SESTA.
But it didn't impact your business. Because we've talked to other people and it's been like that, you know, they relied on one site and that site went away. And then it was like, that was the end of it. Right. Because all the market.
Right.
But you were just still mainstreaming on Twitter and it's like, everything's cool.
Yeah. And it was cool because I was also on Tumblr too. So I do know that feeling of when like your whole page and everything that you built up has to get deleted, because my Tumblr was a sexual dedicated adult content, you know, Tumblr page. Right. And, you know, Tumblr stopped pages who were posting that. Tumblr still has stuff like that up, but you can't post anymore like that pretty much. And whatever you did post when it was adult content, they kind of got rid of it.
Right.
Or it's kind of like people can't see it anymore. So Tumblr, that was one that like definitely kind of hit me because I had a lot of fans on there. And so when everything pretty much got shut down, I had to find a way to move them over to Twitter. So I kind of do understand, but when it comes to like a base, like a site, like say if OnlyFans got shut down or something, then it's like something bigger. But Tumblr, that was the only thing I experienced where my stuff got deleted and most of my fan base went away. But Twitter is there too. And somehow people find a way. They can recognize you by a finger and they'll know it's you.
That's crazy. So like your sales funnel was never OnlyFans. It wasn't in really for the camming part.
Yeah.
You went cold turkey on the camming and just moved into escorting.
Yeah, exactly. Bigger amounts, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so, I didn't have to worry about a website getting cut down or something.
Right, exactly. And like guys tipping you like 30 cents or something like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So finally, you make the transition away from escorting, right?
Yeah.
What's the impetus for that? Just out of curiosity. Like, obviously, you did well enough to do it for some time. You obviously had a huge following, but, you know, I guess like everything has a lifespan. What was your lifespan?
I think actually it had to do with maybe like my last experience as an escort. Because I already had some crazy experiences already with different types of people that I would meet, you know, so I was used to it. I knew how to, of course, navigate myself through that. But I think this last one, it was just pretty much, it was just an experience. It was a lot. I was highly uncomfortable. It just like, I just really wasn't feeling it. And then after that day or after that experience in itself, I just, because it already has been so long, like I've been camming and you know, partaking in anything sexual since I was like, I don't know, like younger, like teens, late teens, 18, 20, whatever, 18, 19, whatever. And so I've been doing it for a couple of years now. And so it's just, I just gradually grew out of it. I feel like I experienced so much in the beginning already, and I did so much in the beginning that now it's just something that I am no longer interested in. Plus, my environment, my circumstances no longer lead me to where I have to even really be an escort. Because right. to be quite frank, in the beginning, it was one, it was because I could, but more so is because I had to. I knew that I could get the money that I would need when I needed it, you know, and what I needed it for. So now it's kind of just like I'm moving towards other things, other interests, acquiring other skills. I'm being kept busy. It's just not something that I'm interested in anymore. Right. Really, honestly, yeah, it's just something that I grew out of. And that experience really did turn me off for sure.
Sure.
For sure.
Sure. I gotcha. You retired, so to speak. You hung up the stilettos and that was it.
I saved up enough, though. I saved up a lot, for sure. That was my main goal, was just to be able to build revenue and save up on it. And then now I can put that revenue towards making more revenue, but in a different way.
Yeah, that's cool. And I really appreciate you sharing your story. It's really
of course
intriguing, and like the navigation of sort of how you go from point A to point B to point C is really fascinating, you know, and like the economics all along and how you did it on your own is even more impressive. So, you know, best of luck in your current endeavors. And
thank you.
You have our thanks. And for everybody listening, this is the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. If you're listening to us, you're probably listening to us on Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify, you name it. So you know where to find us going forward. But thanks for listening again, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. For more episodes, visit us at adamtracy.io or your leading podcast providers.